they're a rogue program.
That's right.
But our money ain't, Fred Smith's money ain't good enough for you. Why? Because you got a bunch of black people working for him?
Yeah.
Because of our diversity.
It does seem like the race car doesn't work for us in college. Like, it doesn't.
But that's been obvious for a long time.
I'm ready to play it with the NBA, too, by the way.
So.
All right. It ain't just, I'm ready to play it with the league on this lease.
Four seasons.
I know, but I'm ready to get it done now.
Mayer probably didn't need to do the timeline.
I agree.
Look, first year, you like Hardiman. You're trying to be transparent. You want Hardiman to write good things about you. Can you
yes.
see? You know, putting that timeline down probably burned yourself.
Right.
More than anything else. But Grizzlies were never talking about a timeline.
Agreed.
And there's four seasons
agreed.
Before 28, 29.
There are. So, okay. I don't. Brad, would you like to be a co-sponsor of the Martin plan?
I like your plan.
That's not a signature.
I'm going to do like Jeff and talk around it. I like it, but I need to workshop it some more.
How much is it going to cost us to fly the Memphis Tigers to Vegas with our new conference mate, UNLV,
well,
in football?
UNLV doesn't want to even be in that conference.
Isn't that a cheap flight?
It's a direct flight.
That's what I'm saying.
On Spirit.
Yeah, I don't.
So remember, we had to see the travel costs by splitting them up.
Yeah. I don't think UNLV wants to be in the Pac-12.
Well, they are, though. So they have to.
He doesn't sound like he wants us in here because he doesn't even want to be here.
In the Pac-12? That's news to me.
Would you rather be in the American?
I guess
UNLV's not in the Pac-12.
No, they're in the Mountain West, bro.
Yeah, there was some talk about going back and forth.
No, they don't. They have rejected the Pac-12 because they want their own money from their current conference.
Right.
We have Utah State.
Yep.
Utah State, Boise State. San Diego State.
San Diego State is who I'm confusing with UNLV.
No, yeah. UNLV's in the Mountain West.
No, that's my apologies.
No worries.
It's not. It's not UNLV. Is the
no?
Third,
we both did it. It's not just you.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, they haven't played a game yet in the Pac-12. Oregon State, Washington State. Right,
those are
guys
the original
are
members.
Yes, and those were once Power Five teams, right?
Texas State is in the Pac-12. Northern Illinois is in the Pac-12, if I'm not mistaken, aren't they?
I thought they were the Mountain West.
Are they Mountain West? Yeah, they had to make up one. So I think Northern Illinois is playing a Mountain West schedule.
You guys
just for football
got invited and said no. To your point,
they said zero. Yep. Yeah, we do not want to be
like
in this.
Just like Memphis did at that
point. Their conference does not want to pay the Pac-12. In fact, they've got a lawsuit going on with the Pac-12, I believe, right now as a conference.
Fresno State,
they're in.
Is in the Pac-12.
Okay.
So it's still the best thing out. It's better than Mountain West, right? I mean, it's better than Mountain West because like the Mountain West doesn't have a second team.
Yeah,
I like the Mountain West.
It is if we pull in Tulane for certain.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, right now it's a little convoluted, right? Like, because you have three leagues here, but yeah, like who's the second best team in the Mountain West right now? Because Boise's gone. Colorado State, I believe, is gone,
Once we get to 26.
In football, let me look.
Once we get to 26.
I have to look here for football. Once 26. It's probably Colorado State. Are they gone?
They're gone.
Fresno's gone.
Your league sucks, buddy.
I like Air Force.
Oh, okay.
I like
Air Force was awful last year.
Yeah, I mean, I like Air Force.
You got like Hawaii,
Nevada,
San Jose State.
Memphis got their quarterback is still in it. Nevada is in there.
They were 3-10 last year.
Well, then your quarterback's going to suck.
I'm not super excited. I got to be honest.
I'm not either.
We'll see.
Everybody bragging about the quarterback. He's from Nevada.
But I think no. I mean, if Memphis were to join the Pac-12, and yes, ideally take that travel partner with in Tulane. That's kind of an addendum, you know, as part of the Martin plan. But I'm open to it, and I think it would make sense for Tulane to do that.
I think Tulane should be the ones open to it. There's nothing for them to
preside
over anymore.
That's right.
It won't be a conference that's looked at seriously.
That's a high academic school. So I think they're smart enough to recognize that if they lose Memphis, and more importantly, their shot at Memphis every year, that would drag down the metrics of the league. They would then have a hard time making the playoff.
All they've got then, at least right now, it's the case is the service academies.
Right. You know? Right.
In terms of teams that they could actually get decent wins off of that are considered quality conference wins.
That's right.
There's not much else there.
That's right.
We'll see where it goes with South Florida. But the moment they get good, their coach will be gone.
Totally.
So there's no promise they can remain.
So just asking a couple of questions about the Martin plan, if I might.
Sure, please. We encourage
to workshop this. Number one, so you're contending that attendance will be better because of these teams, like Washington, because you're playing Washington State?
So we are only focusing on attendance in basketball.
Okay. So that's the Big East. Big East will draw better for basketball.
No need for me to even address that question.
I was under the assumption that Texas was struggling even non-con right now.
I mean, they averaged 7,200 in non-conference last year. 7,200 is more than 6,000.
By 1,200.
By 20%. I mean, I mean, if you want to focus on the raw number, I'm focusing on the percentage here. I mean, I can't magically snap my fingers and say we're going to have 12,000 people back in the stands, you know, no matter what.
I think that's fair.
But I have to. That doesn't mean I'm still going to sit here and watch as it goes to zero.
Yeah, I don't think it's the magic bullet.
I mean, that's an opinion, but I don't think it's correct. I think the Big East, the idea of hosting UConn, the idea of having Marquette, the idea of Creighton, it would rejuvenate. It would rejuvenate Memphis basketball attendance, in my opinion. Now, again, 15,000, 18,000, those days might be gone for no matter what.
I agree with that.
But do I think you could average 9,000 to 10,000 for those games that mattered? Absolutely. I mean, and anything is an improvement over what you currently have.
Now, is the over-under money-wise worth it, too?
I mean, I think so. I totally
for
think
two
so.
Or 3,000 fans is the money reason balance the
yeah
two
because
or 3,
I think there it's more than just that. I think it also would come with a galvanization of NIL dollars.
Right.
I think it would come with you know you could potentially get to a place where you're because the payout for the Big East and the revenue you know is $7 million a year,
right? Mm-hmm.
just for basketball, right?
Right,
so there's a world where you can get there for just basketball $7 million a year,
right?
And then you have your football in the Pac-12, which ideally, that'd be $8 to $10 million a year, maybe more, even after distributions from the playoff. So,
and then your Olympic sports are also there.
I would, you know, I mean, again, I'll be honest, I don't care as much about the Olympic sports, but if they would take the Olympic sports, I would hopefully they, you know, yes, I would send them to the Big East if they would take them. But it's not a deal breaker.
I like that.
You can't fly your Olympic sports around in the pack.
That's right. The Pac-12, they would not.
It has to be.
I agree
with
that.
The rest of the sports have to be in the Big
East. Yeah, listen, there's no panacea here. There's no, you know, I think the Big 12 probably would have been as close we would get to that. Mm-hmm. You know, fix all, everything.
That's
it's a cool idea, by the way, John. Like, I am not crapping on it at all.
It's really not my idea. Like, Memphis officials have already discussed this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, they've already sort of
fleshed this out a little
bit. And I think, like, look, when you're in that position, you have to say, all right, what do we prefer? Like, we prefer to keep everything together, nice and tidy. Let's make this big last run at the Big 12. Make them say no one final time. I give them credit for that. The Big 12 said no. I think it should be interpreted as the final time. I know people on Twitter say, keep going back. But why? Like, what more can you possibly do for them and say to them and bring to them that would make their no after the 99th time turn into a yes, the 100th?
I would be, again, educated and up, you know, what changed for SMU, because apparently there were negotiations there between the A's. I would want to be, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I was looking that up. Like, people keep talking about there was a third vote.
There was a back and forth there between them and the ACC.
I couldn't
ACC,
find anything.
And so what they
I was
did
curious
to,
like you,
to sweeten
like,
the pot.
What did change? Because it's hard to change minds like you that, know. You know.
But I would also factor in, you know, Memphis and the Big 12, boy, they have embarrassed you now numerous times. And so how many times are you going to try this football in front of them?
Exactly.
That Charlie Brown's football, obviously. How many times are you going to put them in front of the bench when they have embarrassed you time after time? And more important, showed you and said to you, one of their presidents obviously did, or at least administrators, in that report, what's changed about them? Well, a ton has changed. But it shows you they're not looking at you as one of them. You're not like them. And so that's what I would say. How many more times are you going to try it with? They've pretty much made it clear to you time after time again. And so, you know, that's why I'm exhausting every avenue first with the ACC, checking in on them, using the race card if I've got to when it comes to SMU and the business you were willing to do with them. Don't tell us that we're some rogue program when you took one with SMU. You liked their money enough.
Right.
Then I'm looking at this because I do think attendance, yeah. Are you ever back to 15,000, 18,000? That's what you're selling to recruits? Maybe not. That day in college basketball is probably dead across the board, not just at Memphis. That's a handful of programs that are doing that. But more importantly, what the attendance might do too in football. Being in that Pac-12, while we're talking about Washington State maybe some years coming in, you're also talking about Boise, and if you can get Tulane, them doing it. But it's not so much the brands. We're seeing new brands trying to create rivalries all the time, old rivalries broken up. It's what it represents, those games, which is a shot, essentially, at winning a conference that's going to represent, the winner is going to be represented in the college football playoff.
Every year.
And so the stakes go up in that conference from a football standpoint.
That's right.
And each game in conference now means something, whereas in the American, whether it's basketball or football, for the most part, a lot of those games don't. How many AAC football games has Memphis won that don't mean a damn thing? They haven't won a conference title since, what, 2019?
Yep.
We've got a lot of AAC wins, just over a bunch of nobodies.
Yep.
So their attendance going down, too. There's not much juice on that side either. When you pick up, you want to go to an AAC football game? Well, unless it's Tulane or one of the ones that are invested like we are. And so that's my thing is attendance can increase there, too, because I think the football side of this is more attractive than people are giving it credit for. They're saying this is just like Ulta. This is a basketball-first decision. No, it's not.
That's right.
If again, ACC exhausted,
yep,
and Pac-12, right, yes, after we've looked at the numbers and the travel and the,
yes,
competitive disadvantage or not,
yes,
it's a better leak. And again, caveat with mine, Tulane. I want them with me.
I think that's realistic.
And I'm using that card, too, with them. What are y'all left in if you don't come with us? Let's jump together and make this thing an even 10 in 2026 that are playing football.
Now, I don't know their financials. You know, like, I don't know. They may not have the same, you know, ambition. I truly don't know.
I mean, they got the same ambition in the AAC.
Yeah. No,
how,
you're right.
How much different is their travel situation? What is it, directly south? How much different is it than yours?
It shouldn't be much.
It shouldn't be much different.
And then you got Texas State there, you know, so that's not far.
What they're left with is do we continue to invest at a level we are if we don't have a shot at the college football playoff, which would be a legitimate concern because now you're in a conference where there are no good wins.
That's right. That's
right. Armed Forces going to get you in by themselves?
Yes. Because if you look at, like, if you just take, like, last year's college football playoff rankings, right, and it's just 1 year sample, whatever, but if Memphis were to join the Pac-12, that would then have given the Pac-12 more ranked teams than any other group of six. Army was 22, UNLV was 24th, Memphis was 25, and of course Boise State was number nine in the country. So off the rip, you have more ranked teams in the college football playoff ranking than anybody else. If you, because, like, Army's probably not sustainable.
Probably not. I mean, Navy was down there for a second. Let's be real. They got Horvath, and now they're out of their back. They could be right back down.
Totally.
Once they don't have that athletic option. That's what we're talking about. There ain't many that are keeping that going and that it's successful with on a consistent basis.
That's right.
They got the right QB right now.
That's right. Like, I mean, if you believe that, like, the American, you know, like, if Army and Navy were real and they could do that every year, then it actually would make more sense to keep them in the American.
But I know Jarvis says they get paid something in terms of what you're paying those folks, but it's not NIL. They're not operating
That's
in the same space. Again, them hitting on every prospect they're with. So now, they're not always going to have the athletic quarterback that's always there because they ain't got any NIL to give that guy.
That's right.
So banking on them and UTSA, which Jeff Traylor's told you, I'm down here winning with nothing. So it's not anything that you can bank on if you're too late.
Well, and the reality is that the middle to bottom of the AAC football really is. It's absolutely terrible. I mean, Tulsa, FAU, UAB, Temple, Rice.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want to go to Simmons Bank and see them. I will go and watch Washington State or whatever else. You can tell me, hey, I'm
Diego State even.
I will watch them because now there's something at stake, which is if I beat them and win this conference, I'm going to the college football playoff. So I'm going to start getting invested in
this.
That's
right. There's no guarantee in the American.
In fact, the Boise State rivalry could really, because what you know is that their level of investment, where they are in football, is where you're trying to get to.
Yep.
And you could really have something with Boise State, and all of a sudden, you know, yeah, maybe it's not as hot as you and Louisville used to be, but it's your, you know, it becomes a natural rivalry with them. And it's those winners, maybe you get Tulane involved or not, it's that winner that comes out every time that's going on to the college football playoff for as long as that spot's there.
Yeah. So, look, I would say if the...
There's a lot of reason to like it.
If the ACC will accept a bribe, I would prefer to be in the ACC.
Well, dude, again, I'm exhausting that because they did it with SMU, and you change the years or whatever it is. You give them some flexibility, but they have to be worried about what's going to happen in 2030 with Florida State. They've calmed the waters now, but it's not done. So, you know, maybe do they just wait? Looks like the Big 12 is waiting on them to blow up.
Right.
So maybe you're proactive.
Yeah, maybe.
Not that this is going to settle Florida State down because you bring Memphis in.
No, it definitely won't. It will probably add to the fervor, but
it's a pretty sweet deal, especially if Memphis is bringing FedEx and Lowe's and all them to the table.
Right, right, right. I mean, again, we have the precedent. They took a bribe before.
SMU did not do that.
Right.
Offer the same in sponsorships.
Right, right.
that you're offering, and you're giving them some years. I mean, if we have to go up from 5 to 6, whatever it is, that 5 gives us some nice flexibility. But whatever it is,
yeah. The only thing is, it's not that I've heard that the ACC won't accept Memphis or take it. It's just the cynicism, you know, that the schools involved, which would vote, because you have to get the votes.
But they're not on solid ground anymore either. To Paul's point, I mean, it's not like anymore they can afford necessarily to be uppity and condescending anymore, because that thing's likely to break up. They don't have members that are going to be there. Florida State's bailing the moment they can.
The commissioner really has to champion it, right? Because it's going to be Jim Phillips' job in this. If we're going to go down this path, it's going to be his job to convince the presidents involved at Cal, at Stanford, et cetera, that this is the best thing for our league and moving forward, right? Like, because, you know, you have to get the majority votes. You know, you have to get, I can't remember what it was for the ACC, how many votes they got. But I think they had to get like 13 of 17. I think that's what it was. You needed 12 of 15. That's what it was. You got to get 12 of 15. And then they added, SMU, Cal, and Stanford. So now it would be 15 of 18. You got to get 15 out of 18 votes. Is Memphis getting 15 out of 18 votes in the ACC? Because I tell you right now, Duke is a no. Cal's a no. Stanford is a no. And then if you just get, one more no, you can't get in. You know? And I that would be my assumption. I mean, Florida State going to let you in? Maybe. Clemson, maybe. But I feel like there's another no there somewhere. Like, Louisville might even say no. They might have, we ain't sharing a league with Memphis again. You know? That's the problem. It's like, if you guys can go through there and come away with, you know, fewer than four no's, and we'll give it a shot. But I don't know, man. I'm not all that hopeful. Anyway, look, nothing's gonna happen today. But it definitely is a it shows how urgent that they feel this is, that they're willing to do things that they were not willing to do ever in the past. You kind of wish, like, damn, where was this in 2021? Because if you would have thrown this offer at the Big 12 in 2021. They probably would have taken your ass over a Cincinnati, because Cincinnati won't come with that, you know. I mean, I don't want to like say too little, too late, but it kind of feels like that in some ways. Anyway, we're way overdue. Let's do a little thing we call the rundown. Oh, you want to take a break? Okay, yeah, we can take a break. I didn't know that was the third segment. I thought that was a rundown. All right, it was such an engrossing and a captivating conversation that, you know, nobody ever wanted it to end. I understand that for sure. But speaking of things coming to an end, say goodbye to the showboats. They have left the building. The Memphis showboats, there they go. Sailing away, man. Sailing away after 3 seasons in Memphis. Week after week, you would see, like, the people that cover the UFL, they would be tweeting about attendance. Oh, Memphis, once again, lowest attendance in the league this year. But it's not just Memphis that is relocating. Memphis is relocating. Birmingham is relocating. Michigan is relocating. And then I think there's one other team, Houston. Houston is leaving the building. So 4 teams, but this is not about the showboats. This is rearranging deck. Well, we're on the subject of boats and ships. This is rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It feels like this thing is not long for this world, period. This is like their last desperate attempt to try to fix it. But I think people are kind of voting, man. Like, they're not interested in going to these games, man. Like, any franchise that is in a city that has literally anything else to do has not been. I mean, Birmingham won this thing, I believe, 2 years, maybe back-to-back years, and they're still leaving. These folks do not care about semi-pro football.
Whole UFL, I guess that's Birmingham, Michigan, Houston, Memphis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blown up.
That was the UFL arm.
It's that arm, I think, of it. I think so. UFL's getting blown up, yes.
All right, the XFL.
4 of the league teams will be relocated for 25. Birmingham, Michigan, Houston, Memphis.
Man.
So.
What was your favorite moment of the showboats era?
You know, there was a monsoon that first year. Showboats had made a turnaround and had fooled me and my son into going because we had bought in.
Yeah.
Bought into a hot showboats team. I can't remember who the quarterback was. He had been on a roll.
I think it was Cookus.
I think he'd hit his ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
Because I do remember a pick six in that game that helped turn it around for the opposing team. Team, again, it's all a blur. But then it started raining. What I do remember very distinctly is the monsoon that came in. And we left. And really, that's when the soul of the team did, too. Because they never came back. 5-5 was our best season, actually. I don't know if you guys remember that. I want to say we had gotten a 5-2 that year, maybe, even. Somewhere along those lines, and that's why I bought in. But they didn't win, I don't believe, another game. And the next couple of years were really bad. And so, I mean, you talk about high points. My son throwing it through that inflatable. You know, that time we went, and he did it. I think the second that's or good. Third throw felt took me back to McCarver, where I used to do the pitching game at the Chicks thing. Yeah. Probably for me, a high point. I do want to salute Steve Macy. Again, in all seriousness, that's a dude who was doing a lot. He was working. He was the head of every department they had, trying to keep that thing going. No joke.
And he was a starting tight end.
I'm hopeful that he'll get to relocate. You know, if you're taking these teams, these UFL teams, to these four other spots, he gets to go, because that's a guy who was working hard for the organization. No joke. And I hope he gets to keep a spot with UFL.
Adding to that, if I might, Jason, because message boards were trying to pile on and say they weren't out in the community. Let me be really clear about this, because I've been here 20 years. They were in the community. People were just not buying the product. I'm promising you. There's nothing more Steve could have done in this community. They did every damn parade last season. They did every car dealer Tunica thing. They're partnering with people. There's nothing more Steve could have done. So
not by himself. He couldn't go out there and score the damn touchdowns.
But short of investing more money, which was fruitless, there is nothing more they could have done. So that I want to set aside what these people are saying about not being in the community. That's just false. Now, John's premise about them living in Arlington.
Well,
is correct.
They quite literally were not in the community because they don't live here.
They didn't live here. But I'm saying the people like the Brad Carsons of that operation and the John Martins who work there and work their ass off, like, they're going to read that and take that personally.
You're saying when they flew in here on game days,
they would go to sponsor opportunities.
Okay.
The people that had to take a salary. Yeah. And like, they had a marketing guy who got fired. You know, like, he was a Brad Carson living in Germantown type thing.
Yeah, I hate it for him, and I hope he gets to stick with these teams in Boise, Columbus, Florida, and Kentucky.
A couple of those guys got laid off. So
I would recommend not moving to follow those teams.
I was going to say, are these even going to do well there? I really don't think this is a Memphis thing necessarily.
St. Louis does.
It was big in Birmingham for a second. I don't know how well received. Obviously, they were willing to move it. That's all. I think attendance had kind of dropped off. The luster had come off in Birmingham a little bit. Clearly, they were willing to move on. And so will they be received in Boise, Columbus? I think the bigger thing here is spring football, which John has always said is not going to work.
It's not going to work.
In whatever way you put it. We thought when The Rock got behind it, it might be its only chance.
That's right.
Clearly.
And he kind of distanced himself from it. He doesn't really talk about it anymore.
Even The Rock couldn't save it is the point.
Yeah.
If he can't save you, who can?
Because people don't care about it, bro. You know, be second-rate football.
That's what I'm saying. We can joke about how in the Showboats war, they never gave us a good product, but I don't know that spring football anymore, that people want it in the way that folks have tried to force it down our throats.
Exactly. That's what it is. It's the concept. Like, we'll literally do anything else besides watch it.
We've tried to talk ourselves into it because Memphis is going to have a franchise. Hey, maybe this can work. Oh, it's got The Rock. It's got real investment. It just does not work. Got the Yacht Club again. I salute the folks that wanted to get back in. Thought it was a dumb move from the beginning that you didn't tap back into the nostalgia, whatever the marketing licensing
quirk was that
kept you. That hurt you from the get-go, because I think there's a lot of us that are as old as me that might have been in that Yacht Club from the get-go, and maybe that attendance looks a little different. That said, you give us two win seasons.
Yep.
Nobody's going out there as hot as it is. What the heck are you talking about? It's also hot in the spring in the Liberty Bowl.
It is hot.
Let's be real, too.
Yeah, like there's a brother tweeted me. He goes, man, every time you tweet, it's just bad news. I'm like, this ain't bad news. The Showboat leaving? Come on, bro.
Now, 901 FC, we lost something. I don't think we lost. You know, again, with all due respect to the people that aren't working here, the Steve Macy's, I don't think we lost the same kind of thing we lost with 901 FC. 901 FC had a little following.
I think it did. Yeah.
No, and yes, it was hurt by COVID. That following had dropped off, but that was something that was, I felt like if you wanted to lament losing something, you lost them. And I think we came to grips with that pretty quickly, too.
I mean, it's a reality. We could lose the Redbirds.
Oh, sure.
That is not a joke.
I don't think you want that hole in downtown Memphis, so I'm with you. That would hurt Memphis.
It would hurt.
Even though clearly attendance, talk about something that's worn off.
Yes.
You know, we don't go down there anymore, but I don't think you want that hole.
No.
You AutoZone can also do Ole Miss, Memphis baseball. There's still other things you can put
maybe
in.
Maybe you could get you the SEC that, tournament
you,
or something.
You want that down there as and as you know as nice as possible. Although clearly the priority is going to be FedEx Forum.
Yeah, no, I mean
I don't think you want to lose AutoZone. To your point, I don't think you want that dead.
No.
But
scary.
But yeah, listen, this is a very difficult day for us here at 92.9. I mean, I never went to a game, and I never felt compelled to go to a game, and I don't think I would. I think they could have been here for 50 years, and I'd have never gone to a game.
You never even tried, bro.
I didn't. Well, you went once.
Yeah, I went once when they turned it around. I was there during a monsoon day. I told you, I went all in. I got the picture to prove it.
Brad never went.
I went.
You never went.
You should see how hot I was, how humid it was that day. We say spring football, but it was really already summertime heat.
Arlington.
And humidity.
Yeah, and I was at the press conference at the stadium last year, too.
I will say, like, I think, like, you know, the whole concept of these guys don't, they fly in for the damn day of the game. It's just stupid.
On game day, man.
It's just dumb.
It is killing it in St. Louis. It's the only market it really does well, I think.
Well, yeah, because you guys are just trying to get an NFL team.
Now, you guys are not UFL, huh? Y'all are the other side?
Yeah,
was that the XFL?
I think it was Battle Hawks, yeah.
Because you guys, because it's what Memphis...
They merged them, right?
You guys are trying to prove to everybody you should still be an NFL.
I think that's what St. Louis is trying to do.
That ain't got nothing to do with the damn product. It's like, hey, we should have never lost the Rams. So
yeah, kind of sticking it to Stan Kroenke there.
But even that is gonna be, you know, that runs out at some point.
Which is why it would help if they had a lease. People start checking out when they don't think things are going to continue long term. Memphis did that in the NFL.
Well, that was never that was from Jump Street. Everybody knew it was just a rental. They knew that from the beginning.
Yeah,
it wasn't like we were going to hope that they stay.
They're not locking in.
It was that they were moving to Nashville, and they but they had to play that year as a lame duck at the Liberty Bowl. That's all. It wasn't like, oh, Memphis might get the team.
But that is the risk you run. That type of a vibe when you don't have teeth, you know, in for long terms.
Well, yeah. Again, I almost thought about taking the day in terms of grief and bereavement.
For the showboats.
Yeah, but I said, you know what? Steve Macy would want me to do the show, man.
He is great,
He would want me to do the show.
He busted his ass.
And so I'm gonna do the show in strength and power. It's not easy to do this today. Yeah, I'll never forget, man. I'll never forget turning on, a showboats game and, middle of the third quarter, down by 34 again. I'll never forget that. It didn't matter who it was, by the way, whether it was the Roughnecks, whether it was the Renegades. I mean, they were getting tossed around like...
Got their ass kicked.
Like a toss junt every week.
Come on.
Every week. And then you'd have the guy, you know, Wizen Hunt's like, I got to take a leave. And he's like, all right, I'm back.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I got to take another leave. I'm done. Like, we had that whole thing. Then they put the poor offensive line coach out there, you know.
He was in the mafia.
Who's like, yeah, you know, we played real hard this week. You know, I don't know. These guys, this guy right here to my dad, he's the best defender I've ever seen. It's like, man, this is an outfit.
It was brutal this year. He was like, we're basically just doing our best.
Yeah.
It was an outfit.
It was kind of clowny this year.
I mean, Wizen Hunt couldn't even be there. You got Wizen Hunt's plan, but he ain't there, and then you're left with that. You can't change the plan up at this point. Poor guy Turner stuck with it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tough.
And they don't even look at him as a head coach. He's tried every speech in the book, fire these guys up.
I think
still
he
ain't winning.
I think they got
it
one
ain't
win.
His fault.
Didn't they get one win? They beat the Stallions or something? Amazingly.
I think they did. They got one.
I think it was our best win in franchise history when we beat
there
Birmingham.
Weren't many to choose
because
from.
Of their storied history.
Epic.
Not that they were champions that season.
What was that? 2000. It'd have been 2025, right?
I thought we broke through with a win over Birmingham this year.
I think
yes.
it was this year. Yeah. So anyway, yeah.
Didn't they sign a Memphis quarterback at some point for like a throwback?
I think they might have signed Brady White.
White was on the roster for a little bit, wasn't he?
I don't think he ever got any. That's the other thing.
We never even had any Tigers over
all
there.
All these damn spring football things we get never sign an interesting quarterback. They never are. I should say
Manziel.
They sign them. They don't play them.
Right.
They don't like how the hell
Mike wouldn't play Manziel.
How the hell are you gonna have Johnny? This is the Express. It's one of the showboats. But how the hell are you gonna have Johnny Manziel in a spring football league and you don't play him?
That's facts.
I mean, that is the most ridiculous remedial.
Well, because he was on that blow so heavy, bro.
It don't matter. Put him out of bed.
You literally couldn't put him out.
Put
there.
Put him out there.
Because bro was high.
I think
Singletary would have.
I
forgot our Singletary interview.
Bro, let him do a line off the Tiger in the hall, bro. All right, and put them out there.
That was the 80s, bro. You can't just let them roll out there straight blowed.
There's
been on an all-night flight, and you trying to roll them out there with them bags under his eyes.
Brian is our quarterback. Not Manziel.
I don't even remember Brian's name.
Here's another bump. Go on out there, Manziel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, dude, there's no rules.
You'd have killed him out there.
There's no rules in the Alliance, man. And then
he had zero commitment.
The Showboats had Case Cookus. That's who it was. It was Cookus. I remember the name because, I mean, that's one thing he never could do is cook the defense. He's out there, another 174-yard game for Case Cookus. Just absolutely no juice. Like, if they would have actually had it, like, give me, like, a dual threat quarterback that can, like, throw and run. I actually might go check that out, man. Y'all gave me these.
You never came. You all that talking, you never gave us a chance.
They never gave me a chance.
At least I went to one game. At the end, I think they had turned it around. They were, like, 5-2. Before they finished the year 5-5.
Yeah, that first year.
Yeah.
And then they've been absolutely terrible ever since.
It's okay. They've turned it around. They've earned we should give them a shot.
Yeah.
And then the monsoon came in.
Yeah, they finished 2-8 last year.
So I think it's 2-win seasons the last 2 years and 5-5 the first year.
Yeah.
So it's really bad. Something along those lines.
So, yeah. So Ken Whisenhunt left before the season started, the first game, came back after the first game, lost the next two games, and then stepped away again. That's how that all transpired. He's like, man, I ain't doing this. I ain't doing this mess. This is a joke.
I think Cole Kelly might have been the dude who, by the time I went, was playing. Because he's 6'7", 250.
Yeah. You remember him being a big dude?
That pick six that I saw him throw.
Yeah.
Pretty sure might have been him.
It's just terrible all the way around.
Sad deal.
But it's all over.
We'll move on, though.
It's like
we'll survive and rebuild.
It's like what you tell like your elderly relative, you know, like no more pain, no more pain. You're off to a better place, maybe.
Although it's some dates off the remember, U of M controls that stadium now.
That's right,
and so it's a
no, concert dates,
dude. It costs them more to open that up for the Showboats.
You think so?
100%.
Yeah, maybe we could get some spring stuff. You got that new 100%. Drive-in?
You got to staff it. You got to staff it. You got to have security. You got to have concessions people there. You got
to
have.
We want dates though. Showboats got to pay us to use it.
Yeah,
and now I lose that.
Well,
I lose whatever that fee is.
Well, I'd like to know how much money.
Probably next to nothing. Yeah. But it's our money now, and not the city's. And they got to have something. You got to have something in there. Otherwise, the thing's just sitting and you're paying the maintenance.
Yeah,
costs.
I mean, we're gonna have to do some spring concerts.
But Brad's right. You got to do a concert series.
Yeah, a little concert series.
I like you. You like
spring.
You have to think outside the box.
The Sim concert series, the spring Sim concert series.
I would do like a Big East watch
three
party.
Big ones, one a month.
A Big East watch party.
Big East watch party.
You,
yeah.
You know, the one time we thought we were getting in there too, and that thing blew up too.
It did.
You know,
it did.
Yeah,
that's been an embarrassment.
That's probably
as well.
What would happen with ACC.
Problem so.
You get invited to the ACC, all of a sudden, Florida State gets antsy.
They're gone.
Piss.
Autonomy status gone, and you still got to pay $25 million to the American.
All right, well, let's get it straight in our minds so we know. Yeah, UNLV is not going to the Pac-12.
They are in the Mountain West.
We both made the mistake.
Yes.
I think Gonzaga, basketball,
yes.
Not UNLV.
Correct.
Gonzaga going in, basketball, not UNLV.
I think UNLV should go to the Pac-12.
They don't want
now
their
they
money.
Should. If we go, they should go. Because if Tulane ain't going, UNLV should come on in.
Come on in.
I think
the water's fine.
They've got the top money in their conference, and they've got some litigation going on.
Y'all make $11 million, though, last year.
No, which is why Memphis should stay.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's
stay and wait.
Figure it out.
But the problem is that the American won't let you jettison basketball and keep football there, it feels
right.
Like.
You're right.
I mean, I could be wrong on that, but I feel like they would not be up for that.
I think that's fair.
So that's why we have to leave the American. But we also can still say with a straight face that if Memphis left for the Pac-12, they would be the favorites to have a playoff team every single year.
Yeah.
Which is not the case right now.
Well, we're usually the favorites. We just can't do it.
Well, to win the American, not to make the playoff.
Sorry.
But yeah, we'll see. By the way, no preseason poll, so we've talked about that, but we won't have that to go off of. I believe Tulane is the favorite this year in the betting market.
We'll be using the betting
odds. Memphis.
We're gonna have our own expectations. Thank you.
That's right. But sayonara and bon voyage to the Showboats. Their run in Memphis is officially over.
Sad deal. All right, it's a big one. And they said it's inside the 5 yard line. At least that's how Andrew Marchand, from over at the Athletic, puts it. A huge. Perhaps historic deal when it comes to ESPN and the NFL. We're right on the precipice of a $29.99 per month direct to consumer product that I believe Marshawn is saying is going to debut this fall as the All Sports Network looks to really lock in with the NFL and their relationship. You know, goes back what, four decades back to the 80s. And so this is something that's been worked on for a while, and as Marshawn says, is likely to come up and will include NFL Network, all of that is likely, and you're going to get it for $29.99 per month, and be able to, you know, pick up NFL games. What I'm curious about though is unlike Sunday Ticket, you won't have access to everything. Just those ones that NFL Network formerly carried, the ones that ESPN's going to have. It's not each and every game. That said, $29.99 per month, I don't know, it seems like a fee that we're going to feel like we're going to have to pay with the large amount of inventory that it will include.
Yep.
How many NFL Network games are there a year? Like seven?
Yeah.
Feels like it's up there.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I don't know. It's not one per week, right? They cut off back. Aren't they off? It feels like it's seven. That's why that seven of them are sound. Anyway. That inventory will fall in along with ESPN's usual stuff, and what they're going to offer it to you, and they've taken me off of the ESPN Plus and stuff. Sort of been preparing us this for a while. It feels like going to put us on this direct to consumer $29.99 per month, and I imagine there's going to be a ton of us that pay for it.
Yeah, I mean that you can't get around it at this point. You've got to pay for everything.
Exactly. You won't have a choice.
You got to pay for Peacock. You got to pay for Amazon Prime. You got to pay for, I guess Red Zone would be streamlined in this scenario with this ESPN DCC. But you got to have that. What else am I missing? I feel like there's other things. You used to have Max. I think that's gone now. I think it's just all going to Amazon now. But Amazon will raise their prices, as we know. You don't acquire the NBA. And the NFL and not do that. So it's like a tariff. It gets passed to the consumer. We're going to have all this stuff. If you're a big NFL person, you already have to probably pay for Sunday Ticket, right, on YouTube TV. It's interesting the way they're doing it this year, though. They're letting me pay, like, basically prepay per month. So, like, I'm paying, like, $35 extra a month right now.
Mm.
And I'm not getting any NFL, but it's like psychologically it feels easier that I'm not just sending out this $350,
it's pretty smart.
One-time note.
Oh, that's smart of them. Take it any way you can get it.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is. It's seven regular season NFL games that come on NFL Network that once this deal goes through and ESPN's acquired NFL Network, they expect to add to that inventory of games. Like you said, you're going to have it unless – your old smoothie, and you got the super box.
Yeah, exactly. It's just going to be a thing we do. I'm hopeful that this is the end in terms of things we have to have, but who knows? Who knows?
I did just cancel my ESPN Plus subscription. I was probably the last one.
Yeah.
Don't know why I was still hanging on.
I guess so. This would replace that.
Pretty much.
Yeah, this would replace that. And I think if you have ESPN Plus, they will probably, hopefully, notify you. Hey.
Well, yeah, and you're going up.
Yeah. You're going up, but you know, you don't have to have this by itself anymore, because ESPN Plus would not come with the things that the ESPN app is coming with.
Mm-mm.
It's all confusing, but it is ESPN. That's what it is. It's called ESPN.
And what are you paying for Sunday Ticket? That's got every game.
It's like three something, like $350 maybe.
So that feels like the old direct. What's the difference between that and the old $399 or so you used to pay with DTV?
Nothing.
But then you got to still pay for Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
This ESPN.
Yep.
There's Peacock. There's a couple Peacocks in there.
Yep. Because they get a couple games.
Is there a Hulu or no? Or
no,
no.
Okay, Hulu,
okay,
yep.
Okay, okay.
No, but, you used to have to pay.
Is there one more that I'm throwing in that's getting like a one-off or no? That seems like it.
I think that's it, yeah.
Peacock, you said.
But again, those prices are going to go up.
Right.
So, that's just the way it is.
If you'd invested in Superbox.
That's right. And then there's some competition on the block for you. I think it's TVIP. Coop can speak to it.
Do you pay a monthly?
I think there is a
That's where we knock y'all off.
I think there's an upfront fee on top of the box that comes with that.
See, I didn't ever had the upfront.
Now, I think maybe we could have him on the show to discuss the differences between and what makes it superior to the Superbox, if there is anything.
I was just looking on that thing. It's updated. I got all the FanDuel networks you got to have
because
all that switch over. All of them are on there. I'm going to be listening to Pete and Brevin still. They can't shake me.
That's how
China... we update.
China keeps getting our nuclear secrets because I think through your house.
We're going to stop talking about Trump going to have ice over there. I'm going to shut it all down.
That's crazy.
So I'm not going to be sitting up here glorifying it.
No. But it's been, you know.
Brad asked me about the price. I don't even talk about it anymore.
By the way, your laptop
still works. I stopped
trying
to sell them because that's when they're really going to try to take me out.
There was some debate about
that. Bro, a straight miracle from God.
That's crazy. China is working through your laptop, man.
This thing was dead.
The laptop died over the weekend.
With no explanation.
It's an older model.
I've had it since 16.
So almost 10 years.
Yeah. It should be about time.
Yeah.
But it never gave me any signs. The fan doesn't even come on. I don't want to get into it because, again, I think I'll get emotional. I'm serious. I spent time trying to revive it in Missouri.
Wow.
It was dead. I had chalked it up. When I'm pulling it out of the bag back home, we got it back to its home where I was going to bury it. But we got the body. We had it back.
That's amazing.
I pulled it out of the bag. I told my wife. I said, I don't even know why I'm pulling this out. Thing's dead. I just need to just throw it. Got to go to Best Buy. It's time. John got one like after 5 or 6 years. You were updating. Uh-huh. I pulled out of the bag. I plug it up. What do you think happened?
It revived itself.
The lights and everything came back on. Now, you look, you the charger cord, you think there's no way this thing's still living.
Right.
If I show you, it should be in the trash. Brad said, we got to get to some spot. This is a true story.
This is a miracle.
Divine intervention.
This is a miracle among us.
Much like our Memphis young man yesterday we had from
That's right.
Mr. Beast winning. I think truly think God was involved here.
All right. We'll take a break. Lots more to come. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN. All right, back. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN. I will say, just for the, in the interest of transparency, Jason Munns from the CA has a statement from the UFL who told him that the league office is in the planning stages for next season and beyond. And at this point, we have nothing to report on any unauthorized speculation. So unauthorized speculation means that this leaked before we were ready to announce it. And we cannot believe that this happened. But they certainly did not deny. If the team was staying, you say, we're committed to Memphis and we're going to make this work. That is not what they said. They said, damn it, this got out before we were ready. Son of a bitch. So we may have to, Jason, do the funeral again, officially. You know, maybe we did it too early, prematurely.
I highly doubt it.
But yeah. Anyway, there you go. The UFL has, I don't know if that's even a denial. I think they're just saying that we weren't right. We weren't quite ready to talk about it. On the show. One thing I do want to address real quick is I saw a tweet from Gabe Kuhn, who, of course, hosts radio on this station, and I assume this was directed at me. I was not tagged in it, but I assume it was directed at me. He said, I don't know why some folks have to do the, quote, make basketball king thing every single time Memphis gets a no from a power conference, as if that wasn't the line of thinking that got Memphis into this mess. Look, I would say a couple of things on that. One is, I think it's a straw man argument. I don't think anybody's, quote unquote, making Memphis basketball king with this plan. It's saving Memphis basketball. It's giving them a viable route to be competitive and to be good again. That's what it's about. It's not about making Memphis basketball the priority over anything. It's just like, that's the program that needs help, because that's the program whose attendance is falling off a cliff despite the on-court performance. That's the program whose schedule from January to March is completely irrelevant because of the opponents that it plays. People will go watch football. Like, they will go watch Memphis football play. Like, is a game against Tulsa going to do better than a game against, you know, Tulane? No, but people, by and large, it's an experience, right? Saturday, tailgate, whatever. If you're good, people will go out to watch a football game. Basketball is very different. The schedule comes at you a lot harder, comes at you a lot quicker, and you have to find ways to keep people engaged over the course of a season. Whereas right now, I was talking to a buddy last week who said, I hate the fact that when the season starts, it's so much fun. We get to play all these Power League teams, SEC teams, UConn teams. We may even win. We may get off to a good. And then it's like all the momentum just gets zapped in January. And like nobody cares. You know, that's a unique challenge for Memphis. And I think that's what this is all about. It's all about putting them in a preferable situation. And also at the same time, in sort of this concept that we've been talking about, putting Memphis in the Pac-12, it's a benefit potentially for football as well, because while the travel might be worse, you may just be guaranteeing yourself a spot every single year so long as you win that league. You cannot say that right now. You cannot say that if Memphis wins the American, it's going to the playoff. That would not be factual. If Memphis were to win the Pac-12 with Boise State, potentially with Tulane as a partner, with San Diego State, with other programs, that team is going to the playoff. Mm-hmm. So this is not just about making Memphis basketball king. It's about putting Memphis basketball in a position where it can be competitive and relevant through half of the season, basically, 60% of the season. And I would think that everybody would want that. I do push back on the whole making basketball king. That's not what I did. And I think in the column, if you did read it, you would see like there was a plan for Memphis football. It wasn't just let's ignore Memphis football. But the truth is, Jason, I think you would agree with this. Memphis football is in a good place, even in the American. Like, it's still okay. It's still maybe even good on depending on the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I don't think you're going to ever convince everybody. But as I said, first hour, the part that people are not talking about, those that throw that this is a basketball first decision in your face and don't listen to the rest of it, what I would tell you is that's an old argument, because what you could be going into, said at first hour, could be better than what you're in.
Yep.
From a football standpoint, it could give you the best competitive advantage to the inside track on the college football playoff spot. That's what, you know, it's not a decision that puts football in the back seat and has basketball driving it. It could be better for both, a higher ceiling for both.
Absolutely.
That's what people need to be open to. Again, you would need to see the numbers.
Right.
It will cost to fly football out to some of these spots. That said, the rivalries that would be created,
yep,
because of the stakes, the increased stakes of when are this conference going to get it? Because even if Tulane's over there in the AAC by itself, that's not enough in terms of the rest of their conference, in terms of strength, to beat us out for the spot. And now look over at the Mountain West where, yes, Brad, as he's correctly pointed out, UNLV still resides,
yeah,
right? But what else is there from a football standpoint,
right,
that's going to get the spot ahead of us?
UNLV doesn't have a chance because they won't play anybody relevant in that league, right? They'll have to go undefeated every single year.
That's my point, and that's going to be Tulane, same deal.
Right.
You will have the inside track. That's what you want in the football side. That can still raise
that's
that
an
brand
edge.
Up to a level.
Yes.
You're making the college football playoff. That's what you're hoping to do right now in the AAC. That's best case scenario. And then you'd be telling yourself you have an improved spot. Need to take a break.
Yeah.
Need two short segments.
All right, we'll come back. Stick around. Jason and John, Artie Charnoff, ESPN.